This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:46 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han, and Giri Balakrishnan joins us on the show today. We have the Breakfast Grill in about 15 minutes or so, and a special topic on the SST today. It's a hot topic in the country. Quite timely to be discussing this because the targeted September 1st deadline is drawing closer. The question is, are businesses ready?
That's right. So Joyce Goh will be speaking to Raja Kumaran, who is an executive director and head of indirect tax at PwC Malaysia, and also Dato Sri Gary Chua, who is the president of the Malaysia Retail Chain Association.
Yeah, I just wanted to note, to make a quick note, that this interview was actually done earlier this week, and this was prior to the revelation of the missing 18 billion ringgit GST input tax credit that was made by the finance minister, Lim Guan Eng. So I mean, this is the hot topic is on every front page of the papers this morning. So really, it's quite a really, you know, I guess a hot button issue, but at the end of the day, we have to also think about the business community, whether they are ready for the re-implementation of SST. All right, well, that's coming up shortly. But first, let's take a look at the top business headlines of the day. We kick it off with Splash, or Syarikat Pengelola Air Sungai Selangor, to be specific. So now Splash, or Gamuda, and Kumpulan Perancang Selangor has announced that they have accepted the state government's offer for Splash.
Yeah, so last Friday, Selangor Menteri Besar Amiruddin Syari actually announced that Selangor offered to buy out Splash's water treatment assets for 2.55 billion via an upfront payment of 1.9 billion and the remaining 650 million to be paid over 9 years. Now, this, of course, is at a discount to its book value of around 28%, if you remember correct from the announcement.
Yeah, but still, the 2.5 billion ringgit that's being offered right now is 10 times what the former Selangor Menteri Besar Tan Sri Khalid Ibrahim had offered them, about 250 plus million or so. Now it's 2.5 billion ringgit. And I'll give credit where credit is due, man, because we had on the Breakfast Grill the Minister for Water, Land and Natural Resources, YB Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, here on the Breakfast Grill. And he said that, you know, that deadline of August 10th, which is today.
Oh my goodness, they made the deadline.
So the offer was made, that 2.5 billion ringgit offer was made last week, as announced by the Selangor Menteri Besar. And before that, when Dr. Xavier was on the Breakfast Grill on July 24th, he said August 10th, he was about 96% sure the deal will be wrapped up by then, but credit to the both the federal and state government, the deal has been agreed to. Now they just got to work out some details, and I believe the next deadline there is September 14th.
Yeah, so what does it mean for, I guess, Puncak Niaga and Kumpulan Perancang Selangor, right? If you take a quick look at the two companies, you know, in the 2 years since Puncak Niaga sold its Selangor water assets to the state government, that company has tried to really diversify. I think it's gone into plantation and oil and gas as well. But it's really been very unsuccessful in replacing the cash cow that was the water concession.
Yeah, you know, so I wonder what the folks at Puncak Niaga are saying right now, given that they actually sold off their assets already years ago, right? And recall that they were trying to sue the Selangor state government before that.
That's right.
You know, because they're saying, hey, you know, we were threatened into this deal and so we got the short end of the stick. And then here you've got Splash now getting this valuation that is way higher than what was initially offered. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. So moving forward, you know, you've got Gamuda, who's actually also Gamuda in KPS. Mm-hmm. I know, so you have to figure out, well, you know, now without these O&M contracts, O&M being operation and maintenance contracts, you know, what does that mean for, you know, in terms of their revenue streams?
Yeah, what's going to be their core business, right? I think KPS with Kumpulan Perancang Selangor, if I'm not mistaken, they bought into the mattress company, King Coil.
Ah.
Yeah, and also...
So they're going to sleep on it.
Hey. Nice.
A waterbed, maybe, perhaps? No, not quite.
Well, actually, I'm
pushing it too far.
Sorry. Han, yeah, coming back to Puncak Niaga, they had actually managed to secure a 490 million contract to undertake and build a new regional sewage treatment plant in Pahang. That had actually helped to increase their share prices by about 6.5%, but it's still way lower than the price that it had set in November of 2017 at 70.5 cents. So what's Punca Niaga doing? We should look at Punca Niaga later today when the market opens up.
For sure, yeah, but that's, you know, for the companies. But what does it mean for us consumers, water users, people who live in Selangor, all right? What will that mean? You know, we could be seeing a raise in the tariff rates?
Yeah, you know, so I mean, you've got the Langat 2 water treatment plant that's been worked on. I believe November has been touted as the deadline where the first phase will come online, I believe. Double check me on that. So ultimately, the idea, what we want is a more stable water supply.
Yeah, no more cuts.
Yeah, no more water cuts. But that does come at a cost. So again, we had the Minister of Waterland and Natural Resources, Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, on the Breakfast Grill. And here's what he had to say about the water tariffs moving forward.
The only thing I can say about water tariffs is this. It's long overdue. We have had no increase in water tariffs for a very, very long time, and the industry is moving on. And the cost is escalating as far as water services are concerned. So the people must understand that we need a water tariff in place in order to make sure that the industry runs along.
That was Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, Minister of Water, Land and Natural Resources. I remember him saying that when he was on the Breakfast Grill with you, Han. And, you know, my first initial reaction was like, oh no, my water bill. But he had a point, right? Because it hadn't been reviewed for a very long time, you know, not taking into account any of the costs that had gone up over the years. Perhaps it is time for the water tariff to be raised. However, it's not a very populist move, and I'm sure that it will come at a cost to a lot of people. Mm. But moving on, let's take a look at EPF, because they've got a new incoming CEO, Tunku Ali Zakri Alias, who has come out to say that the asset size of the EPF will reach 1 trillion ringgit in the next 2 to 5 years. I think currently its AUM just values over 814 billion ringgit. That already is a considerable size.
Yeah, so what he's saying is that maybe members should start thinking about the end goal of just getting higher financial dividends shouldn't be the only reason why they invest in EPF. This seems to be requesting or asking the investing public to take a haircut on the returns that they're getting from the dividends that EPF generally pays out, which is significantly above or at least 2% above the going inflation rate at that point in time.
Yeah, look, now, to be fair, okay, this he meant this as pure conjecture right now. So this discussion
speculation
is...
Speculation still?
Well, yeah, this discussion that we're having right now is purely academic right now. So that is not by any means, I want to be very clear, this is not by any means a deviation from the EPF's current mandate. But it's fun to talk about, right?
So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, so you got to ask yourself, right? So, you know, what he's saying here is, if I'm reading between the lines, 1 trillion ringgit, you're going to have a hard time trying to find all these different assets that you can keep investing in to, you know, kind of generate those returns that we demand.
Is it because the EPF's investing mandate is limited by, you know, certain constraints that it has, as percentage that it needs to invest in this and percentage it needs to invest in that?
Correct.
And that will limit it in terms of where it's going to put its money?
Yeah, and every time they to tweak those asset allocation strategies, they got to go through this whole process. You know, if they want to invest more overseas, they got to ask for permission. You want to invest more in properties, you got to ask for permission. And those funds, those AUMs, just keep growing and growing and growing. There's a younger population, more people entering the workforce. There's wage growth as well. So hence our contributions to the EPF grows. So now he's asking us to perhaps consider, are we willing to sacrifice higher dividends for the greater social good for broader Malaysia? I don't know. Like, are you guys okay with that? I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit selfish here, and I'm saying no.
But
I want my money.
I think I need to know. Okay, I understand where you're coming from. It's your hard-earned money, and it's your retirement savings. We want to make sure we have enough money to grow old. But I need to know a little bit more about what this social safety net means, because, you know, if you raise, you know, a rising tide raises all boats, right, as they say, right? Yeah. So I just need to know, I mean, are we talking about like a dole system here or whatever? In my mind, that's what I'm thinking. But I'm sure it has to be something that's acceptable to everyone, right? Because this is people's pension money that we're talking about.
Right. See, it's going to be tough, right? Because when it comes to your EPF contributions, these are your contributions to your retirement, right? If you're talking about, say, a broader welfare system, social security net, that would mean a pooling of funds. Now, that's where our tax money already comes in. So I'm all for still that maintained segregation whereby your tax money still goes towards funding the greater social good. My EPF money is for me to retire and buy a little chalet in some godforsaken pulau and just live out the rest of my years or something.
Alone.
I love you all.
No, Han, I think we really need to look at it from this perspective. The EPF, I mean, what are they doing with the money that we are contributing to them? Right now, we're looking at what their largest investment or asset class for EPF is, in fact, equities. We're looking at probably around 42% of its total portfolio of about 800 billion ringgit. So we're looking at 340 billion ringgit, which is invested in equities. Now, what are the returns that we're getting from that? So the primary focus really is the dividends that are being paid by the companies that EPF has invested in. So who are the companies that EPF is invested in is managed by professional fund managers within EPF itself. So surely they would be directing the funds towards higher yielding investments rather than whittling it away into assets or investments which may not be providing returns.
Ooh, whittling away. Vote choice of words right there. But still, while we have seen recent developments, say with the Suri Rumah program,
that's right, yeah.
And also EPF just recently signed an MOU with Grab to promote a retirement program of sorts for these ride-hailing drivers.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. I'd like to point that out because, EPF is saying that they're worried that perhaps they're not as relevant today to cater to all these different lifestyles, to cater to the gig economy, for instance. So having this kind of collaboration with Grab, having Grab drivers being able to contribute or to have sufficient retirement savings, I think it's a great move. It's a step forward for the EPF.
Yeah, no, certainly. But that also means more funds are getting directed.
It's a cycle.
So EPF is going to get more money and they're like, well, what do we do with this money? Where do we invest, right? So I just say, hey, do your good work, people. I love what you're doing right now. Get me those dividends. I want to retire tomorrow.
All right, well, let's take a quick look before the 8 o'clock news bulletin. I do want to also take a quick look at Samsung because they just released their Galaxy Note 9 and they're hoping that it will go head-to-head with iPhone users because this Galaxy Note 9 is priced at $1,000.
Yeah, talk about challenging at the premium end of the market there. Now, with Apple, for example, they just recently announced their results. They are seeing the average revenue per user go up while the number of units of iPhones sold is actually flat. Now you've got Note challenging them at the top end. We'll see whether or not that strategy pays off.
All right, we've got Sabrina Magdalene poised at the mic for the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But after that, we have the Breakfast Grill. Stay with us for a discussion on the SST with Joyce Go on BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.